All right. Good, I can talk quiet then. 2 Corinthians, and chapter 5. Today I want to talk about an awesome ambassador. An awesome ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And, start at verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll talk about an awesome ambassador. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for this special day we're having today, Lord. Thank you for the chance to be together. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, we have food cooking. There's hungry people all over the world, Father, and we have an abundance. And thank you for the hands that are preparing it and have prepared it. Thank you for, Lord, all this blessings of today and the fun time we have and the blessings of fellowshipping and singing and hearing the preaching and, Lord, being together and all the horse rides and everything we'll have, Father. We thank you. We get to have it. We ask now, Lord, the most important thing is, of course, your word and exalting you and putting you first, Father. And Lord, we are needy people who need wisdom and need guidance in our lives. We need to see things clearly. And I pray, Lord, you would quicken us according to your word and help us to see your word clearly, Father. We need your spirit to guide us and your spirit to speak to us. And we just pray that it would be evident that he is in control and he is speaking to us. We pray that you speak to every heart, Lord, and give them the needs they have, Father. May they be met, and may people be converted and drawn to you and strengthened and encouraged, Lord, in all these things. We just pray you'd speak to us in a powerful way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, I want to talk about an awesome ambassador. I'm going to start back in chapter 5. And we're going to go through a pretty good amount of chapter 6 also. But verse 15, it says, And then he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for them and rose again. I can't get the airplanes to stop like they got the trains to stop. We're gonna go ahead and just preach while they're going by and have a great time. It says right here, it's an interesting thing. It said he didn't just die to save us. And, of course, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, the Bible says. We know that he came to save us, and that was vital. But it said not only did he die to save us, but he said that we should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose again. Let me just ask you this. What do you live for? Now, when I ask a question like that and ask you to look at yourself, one of the things that is very easy to do is just to say the doctrine that you believe. I live for God. That's a doctrine I believe. Or we say what the right answer that should be. I live for God or live for the right things. But in this question, I want you to not to answer what you think the right answer would be, what you live for, but what does your life say you live for? Because it doesn't really matter what you believe if you don't back it up with action. James teaches us the faith without works is dead. Show me thy faith without thy works, I'll show thee my faith by my works. What do your actions say you live for? Not what do you believe you should live for. And just areas, there's just several areas we could talk about. Church attendance. Your time spent. What do you spend your time on? Your loves. Your family. Your finances. What do you live for? If you spend all your money on yourself and all your time on yourself and all of your priorities in yourself, if you spend that stuff on yourself and what you want to do, what you want to watch, what you want to spend your money on, whether you want to go to church or not go to church, then you're missing what this verse said Jesus wants you to do. He died not only to save you, but that you would not live for yourself anymore, but for him which died for you and rose again. Do you live for God today? I mean, do you live for him? Do you get up in the morning and say, Lord, this is your day, your life. What do you want me to do today? The Bible says that's your purpose, and that's why he died. Then in verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are become new. This is a great verse. Hallelujah, we're a new creature. Amen. I'm so glad the old me is gone, and I'm a new creature. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And one of the things that's great about that, being a new creature, it is a whole new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. On earth, some old things are still there. Boy, if you did some things wrong, or you got some old scars... I got some scars from sin. I got a big scar on my forehead from a drunk dad dropping me. And that's still there. On this earth, there are many things that are still there. But in heaven, in God's eyes, old things are passed away. All things are become new. He doesn't just say God erases things and kind of takes things away. He says old things are passed away and all things are become new. Every single thing. There's a big difference. I used to have a brother-in-law who used to do body work, and he taught me to do some body work, and some friends of mine crash their cars all the time, and so we learned to do a little bit of body work. And you know what? You can make a car look brand new. But if you've ever driven a car that's been totaled before, you find out that car is not brand new, just because it looks like it. And I have a totaled car. My Suburban's been totaled twice, but we still drive it. And but you know what? When something's been crashed, you can paint it, you can repair it, you can bond to it, you can do all that stuff. But it's not new. It's still got the miles on it. It's still got the beating it's had. Just because you put a new paint cover on something does not mean that thing is new. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It is the difference between a car that puts a facade on it and puts new stuff on it, but it's still got worn tie rod ends, and the axle's still got miles on it, and the transmission's still got miles on it. And the difference between a brand new car. I worked for a Cadillac dealer for a while, and when they get the new Cadillacs in those trucks, sometimes you drive those cars off of the trucks. You drive a brand new Cadillac, I mean, with no miles on it, literally just off the truck and back it down and take it to the parking lot. And I thought, well, this is the only time I'm ever going to do this and drive a new Cadillac. But we drive those things. They were brand new. There wasn't anything wrong with it yet. There wasn't one mistake, one torn piece of carpet. It is brand new. And the Bible says if you are in Christ, if you are born again, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise the Lord that we are new creatures in Christ. No matter what your past is, you are forgiven. You're new in Christ. God renews you and forgives you and washes away all your sin. What a great blessing that is, being a new creature in Christ. Enjoy your salvation. Be excited that God forgave you, even if you can't forgive yourself. God makes all things new in heaven, and that God is merciful and loving, and Jesus died for every one of your sins, and you are cleansed and washed whiter than snow. Praise the Lord. That's so great about salvation. And today, if you're not saved, if you don't know that your sins are washed away and you got a home in heaven, if you don't know that for sure, can I tell you, it's right there for you. It's no process. It takes a day. It's very simple to know you're going to heaven and to be a new person. It's knowing you're a sinner and Christ is the Savior and receiving his gift of eternal life for you and trusting him as Savior, and he washes your sins away. We'll talk a little more about that. Verse 18, as we go back here, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, I'll just be reading some more verses. Verse 18. And it says, in all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciled means to be made equal or balanced out. If you balance a checkbook, you're actually reconciling your checkbook. And you probably should balance your checkbook every once in a while. If all you do is call the bank to find out if you still have money there, you might want to balance a checkbook once in a while. And when you balance a checkbook, you reconcile it. You make it equal. If you owe somebody $1,000 and you pay that $1,000, you've reconciled it. The Bible says God has reconciled us to himself. We owed a sin debt. Jesus paid that sin debt. And now we are reconciled to God. There's nothing between us and God. We are right with God. God says, you don't owe me anything. I love you. You love me. You're saved. You're going to heaven. And you are forgiven for your sin. But then Jesus said, I gave now you as Christians the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, now that Jesus reconciled us to him, he says to you now, okay, you take the ministry of reconciliation, and I've given it to you. Now go get some people reconciled back to me. In other words, you are supposed to be a witness. You're supposed to go take the gospel to somebody else, invite them to church, tell them about Jesus, give them a New Testament, give them a tract, tell them how to be saved, go witness to people, and we are supposed to do that. And that is our ministry the Bible gives every Christian. Understand, you are called to the ministry. That's our theme this year, called to ministry. Every single Christian is called to the ministry. God has given you, if you're a Christian, the ministry of reconciling people to God. Your job is not to stand there and say, oh, you are so bad, or you shouldn't be doing that. You're so terrible. Oh, look at that person. Your job is to grab that person and bring them to God. That is your job. God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of you, not just me, I have that ministry no more than you have that ministry. This job behind the pulpit is not the ministry of reconciliation. This is preaching the word of God and feeding the flock. The ministry of reconciliation is bringing lost people to the Savior. And that's your job just as much as it is mine. It's every Christian's job. And God has given you that ministry. Next, and we're all focused, it says verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ said, be you reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. If you don't know what an ambassador is, an ambassador is basically this. If I was an ambassador, America, President Obama, or the State Department would send me, and they'd say, you're going to be the ambassador to Guatemala. And I would go down to Guatemala, and I'd go to our embassy in Guatemala, and I would represent America, and I would speak for America. I might call the president of Guatemala, and I would say, we want to talk to you about a peace treaty where you can trade with us freely, and we can get some of your oil for and that our company's in, or whatever the deal is. We want you to go be with us in Afghanistan, or whatever. I would represent America, and I would go and speak for America, and I would go and bring peace, or get along, or make a deal, and bring together these two nations. That is what an ambassador does. We have ambassadors from all the countries in America. America has ambassadors to all country. When it's really, really an insult to a nation, you remove your ambassadors. When you say, we're angry with you, we're not going to talk to you anymore, you remove your ambassadors, and relationship is cut off. And that's an ambassador. And the Bible says an amazing phrase, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We, not just me, Paul the Apostle, but we as Christians. So God comes to you and he says, go be my ambassador for people. And so God sends me today, and an amazing thing and a great weight upon me and a great responsibility that I have is I stand here today not to say what I want to say, but as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, giving you the message that God has for you and saying, here is what God wants from you. Here is what God is saying to you. And of course, he gives me the message right here in the Word of God. And I am an ambassador for Christ when I'm preaching right now. But you, as you leave this church, you will drive up that steep hill or ride up that steep hill or walk up that steep hill or whatever you do. And you will walk out and walk out as an ambassador. And everybody you meet, you are God's ambassador to them. I didn't know that. Today I want to talk to you about being the right kind of ambassador. If you notice, he says, verse 20 says, that we are ambassadors for Christ as though God himself, as though God did beseech you, did ask you by us, be reconciled to God. We pray you in Christ's stead. Christ isn't here right now, but he is speaking through us. We are his ambassador. He says he wants you to do that. If you're an ambassador for Christ, and we want you to be an awesome ambassador. First of all, realize that God speaks through you to others. Realize that God speaks through you to others. God may want to get the message, but you know what? Since the time of Jesus, you know what? Not many people does God speak directly to. The voice comes down from heaven and says, you need to go and pray tonight. Doesn't happen very often. You need to be saved. The voice from heaven, it happened to the Apostle Paul, but it's very rare. It was very rare in the Bible. Most of the time, a person on earth was preaching the gospel. Jesus himself, in his entire ministry, only had it happen twice. And that was Jesus walking on earth. Okay? Jesus was given the message of God. Peter was given the message of God. People. God uses people. He puts human ambassadors down here to speak. Listen, President Obama or President Bush or President Clinton, they didn't go personally to every single country for every single message. But he would send them and say, you go tell them this. And they would take the message. You are a spokesman for God. You are a spokesman for God. If you represent God, He wants to speak through you. Realize, first of all, that God speaks to you through others. You realize you represent God, and He wants to speak through you. Notice that. He said, we beseech you, God beseeches you by us, and we are speaking for God here to you. Realize that God wants to speak through you. And realize that, thirdly, if God is using somebody else to be ambassador for you, do not get mad at the ambassador. Some guy walks in and says, the president wants you to know that we think that you are not treating your country, Guatemala, we don't think you're treating Honduras right. And they go and shoot the ambassador. If you've got a problem, it's not the ambassador's fault. He's a messenger. And listen, when somebody, and we are so thin-skinned in America today, and we are so thin-skinned as a people, maybe not be at open door, but many people are so thin-skinned that somebody comes to you and rebukes you, and boy, don't you talk to me that way. Don't you judge me. Listen, don't get mad at the ambassador. God might have sent them to talk to you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a talking to. I need sometimes somebody to come rebuke me and straighten me out. And sometimes I need somebody. And sometimes, by the way, they're not even meaning to do it. But my kids will straighten me out by saying something. They're not even meaning to rebuke me. But God's speaking to me through them. Yeah. Sometimes my wife. Sometimes you at church. Boy, I realize that, boy, I did something wrong. I didn't handle something right. And don't get mad when an ambassador is sent to you. God sometimes sends somebody to talk to you. It's not just God Himself coming in person and giving you the big Charlton Heston voice coming down from heaven. It's not always that. As God's representative, I want to ask you today, and this is where we'll focus the whole message on, as God's ambassador, as God's representative from Him, as God's ambassador, what type of ambassador should you be? If you're going to be the ambassador for Jesus Christ, if you're going to walk up in the place of God and go to your neighborhood and go to your work and go to your neighbor and go to your family and go to people around you and you're saying, I am representing Jesus Christ, you say, I don't want to do that. Sorry, but God says you're an ambassador for Him. By the way, it is a big weight. It is a big responsibility. Why do you think I so carefully behind this pulpit never tell you things that I don't know are true? Why do you think I'm so careful not to just say things in a whim and just lose my temper and say what I want to say? I very carefully pray about and consider and study what I'm going to say because I am speaking to you in God's place. Jesus will never preach to you on this earth. He sends people. And I'm standing in the place of God today. I'm not God. I'm not to be worshipped. I'm not infallible. I can make mistakes. But I am preaching God's message to you for Him. He's not here today in physical form. He's here in spirit. We're two or more gathered in the midst of Him. And it's a great responsibility to be ambassador for Christ. So what type of ambassador and representative should you be? First of all, type of ambassador you should be is a soul-winning ambassador. A soul-winning ambassador. We see this all over this passage here. He teaches us all over. If you go back to, it is where we started out, verse 16, therefore we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we know Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Chapter 6, verse 2. For He said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. He said, I'm trying to get you right now to hear from God and accept that. And He says, we are supposed to be representing Jesus Christ and telling people about the Christ. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me go forward a little bit to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, telling people about Him. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. He says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see that? He says, I am an ambassador. I'm in this jail right now, but I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm locked up in jail, and God sent me to represent him as an ambassador in the middle of jail. You say, okay, I understand when you're going forward as a preacher, but at work I'm an ambassador? Paul said, when they put me in jail, I became an ambassador to that jail. Think about that for a sec. When Jesus Christ sends you forth everywhere you go, just like Paul said, okay, I'm locked in the Mamertine prison, or I'm locked in this prison. God sent me to this jail as his ambassador to this jail. Everybody here, I'm here to this jail. God put me here to be an ambassador. Now, he's in jail for preaching the gospel, not because he robbed somebody. But he became the ambassador for Christ. So when you go to your job, you are God's ambassador at that job. Amen? You're God's secret agent. You're going forth into your job as God's ambassador. You're going forth in your neighborhood. How many of your neighborhoods, they need an ambassador for God in that neighborhood? It needs a little work. You're an ambassador for God. You're an ambassador in your home, to your family. You say, I am here and I'm representing God. You don't have to say those words, just do it. Jesus says, you're going to go and represent me to that area. You're a soul winner. Can you imagine if an ambassador went to country and here goes the ambassador to Hungary, and he arrives, he goes to the embassy, and he sits there in his office. And the ambassador from Hungary comes in, and he sits down and he says, okay, so you've been sent here to speak to us. What is your message? Boy, he'd be in trouble. That's your job. Can I tell you, as a Christian, your job is to tell people about Jesus, to reconcile people to God, to be an ambassador for him, to bring his message to people. What is his message? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You are to go and speak and not be silent. Paul said, pray for me that I may be an ambassador who speaks boldly as I ought to speak. Are you boldly speaking the message of God as an ambassador? Or do they even maybe not even know you're a Christian? A soul winning ambassador. If you go back to our verse there, and listen in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, we then as workers together with him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You are an ambassador working together with God to reach that people. And that's what it's all about, is reaching people. You are an ambassador for Christ, a soul winning ambassador. Listen, folks, you can take a New Testament with you and give it out. You can take a tract. You can tell them God loves you. You can tell them this is right and wrong. You can be bold and say, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says this, be an ambassador for Christ. The problem is you have his ambassadors everywhere, but they're not speaking. They're keeping silent. Your job, you're called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You ought to be going out witnessing to the church. You ought to be witnessing all week long. Your family ought to hear the gospel. And listen, folks, even if you don't know how, take one of our church's tracts. It tells you how to tell somebody how to get to heaven and even gives you a prayer. But you need to be a soul-winning ambassador, telling people about Christ. Next, an ambassador. You want to be the right kind of ambassador? A soul-winning ambassador? A sold-out ambassador? A sold-out ambassador. Chapter 5 and verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. A sold-out ambassador. Can you imagine? Ambassador comes to a country. He goes to France. Oh, these are great restaurants. I'm going to these restaurants. Oh, man, I'm going to go see the Eiffel Tower. I'm going to go see this. I'm going to go tour the Tour de France. I'm going to go check out France. I'm going to go to Spain. I'm going to go around. I'm going to be a tourist. I'm going to check out these countries here. I always wanted to see Portugal. I'm going down to the beach. I'm going to see Normandy. This is going to be wonderful and awesome. I'm going to see all these things. And 6 months later, president calls and says, so how is the communication with France going? Oh, man, I got too much to do. I can't get to that stuff. Can you understand that's the average Christian, what God is saying today? You know, I saved you to give you the ministry of reconciliation so you can glorify me and live for yourself. So how's it going serving me? Oh, Lord, I've been really busy. I had a job. I have problems, finances, troubles. I've been busy. I've had a lot of things to do. I've watching a movie. I've been taking care of my pets. I've been doing this and that. And God says, whoa, I didn't save you so you could just tinker around all day. I've got people for you to reach. I got a job for you to do. I've got a life for you to live for me. Your kingdom is heaven, and you're living for heaven someday. You're going to be there forever, and you're trying to get treasures. What are you doing? Are you so busy living for yourself that you don't have time to be an ambassador for Christ, living for God? I understand life is busy, and I understand bills come in. I understand there's car problems. I understand there's family things to do. I understand all that. I said, folks, I understand how crazy our lives are, but you are not called to live for yourself. You're called to live for God. And if you don't have time and you're just not sold out, listen, I represent America, and whatever America needs me to do, I'm going to go do that. The ambassador says, are you sold out to God? Are you living for only for Him, Lord? Whatever you say, if you want me to go and go to the Zimbabwe and be a missionary, Lord, if you want me to go and quit my job and preach the gospel on the street corner, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I am sold out for you. Whatever you want, my life is yours. Whoever you want me to marry, whatever you want me to do with my money, my car is yours. Listen, folks, are you sold out to God? Is everything you have at God's disposal? If God said, today I need you to do this thing with your car, I'll never forget Tom Williams, man whose wife had spinal meningitis, and she was just like a child, and he doesn't know what happened, but one night he was driving in the middle of the desert, and somehow he just flew into the rear end of a semi, and doesn't know how it happened. He knocked unconscious. He had his whole family with him. One of his sons, head was split from ear to ear. His wife was unconscious. They didn't know she was alive. All of his front teeth were knocked out, and there was blood everywhere in the car, and his car was destroyed. There's nobody in the semi. A car came by, and they flagged him down, and he says, we need to take us to some hospital. My son, his head is sitting wide open. And the man looked at him and says, this car is new. I cannot get all the blood in my car, and just drove off. Somebody else came along and said, they make new cars all the day, but that kid's going to die if he doesn't get to the hospital. And he let him all in the car, and probably did get blood all over his car. You know, we think these things aren't that important in that situation, but you know, nothing in your life is that important in the hands of God. I mean, God may need you, your life, your time, your energy. He may need you to be a martyr and go preach the gospel and get 5 people saved over in Saudi Arabia before they stone you. Are you sold out to God as an ambassador for Him that's willing to do whatever your country demands and your country is heaven? Are you an ambassador that is totally sold out to the Lord? Or are you just a half-hearted playing around ambassador who's just there to tour and drink the wine and eat the food and tour the country? Are you there? Are you here for a purpose? Nothing wrong. We took vacation, went to Yellowstone a month ago. Nothing wrong with occasionally doing the fun things you like to do. And I understand. Nothing wrong with the day off and all that stuff. But I mean, are you living for God or are you living for yourself? Are you living for God or living for yourself? Is everything at God's disposal? Are you a sold-out ambassador who's living for the cause that you're there for? Or are you just playing around? Next, are you a Spirit-filled ambassador? Chapter 6. Are you a Spirit-filled ambassador? He says in verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. Are you showing forth the power of God, the fruit of the Spirit? Can I say, as an ambassador for Christ, you're supposed to look good. I mean, can you imagine a guy comes in as ambassador and he's got his pants sagging down to his knees, his shirt's all ripped up, he's got a bunch of food in his beard, he's drunk. Hey, what do you want? Hey, want a drink? You think he's going to look good for his country? He hadn't taken a bath in a week. I represent America. You're not much of a country, I guess. And you go and represent God. And are you a Spirit-filled Christian? The Bible says in power, in the Holy Ghost, as an ambassador, in this passage of ambassadors, it says Spirit-filled and by the power of God. Can I tell you today, if you get the power of God, you have a bunch of things called fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. As I go forth into this world, folks, I want people to look at me and say, you have something I don't have. Yeah. You have love that I don't have. You have joy that I don't have. You have peace that I don't have. As an ambassador for Christ, if I have the fullness of the Holy Ghost upon me, I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. And the world ought to look and say, you represent God. You're kind of like Jesus. I want to ask you today, are you a Spirit-filled ambassador? Our memory verse today, I want to read to you chapter Psalms chapter 67. And verse 1 and 2, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among the nations. Can I tell you, more powerful than your words as you go forth as an ambassador is your life that says, I have a powerful, great God. My God is real. My God is powerful. My God is full of love. My God loves you unconditionally. But if you're in a soap opera with everybody and fighting and in battles and got a bad testimony and leave a bad name behind, you're a terrible ambassador. You're supposed to be a powerful ambassador and a Spirit-filled ambassador that shows the fruit of the Spirit and has the power of God, and the Holy Spirit speaks through you to people. And that happens by asking for the power of the Holy Spirit, by thirsting for the power of the Holy Spirit, by longing for the power of the Holy Spirit, by obeying God and doing His will and living a holy life, and you get the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. Next, we said you need to be a soul-winning ambassador, a sold-out ambassador, a Spirit-filled ambassador, and also a separated ambassador. A separate ambassador. Let's go back there to our passage. In the same passage, it explains a lot of things we're supposed to be here. A separated ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Chapter 6, verse 14, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God, that's your body, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and then walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, listen. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them, be separate. You are supposed to be separated. The word separated in the Bible, it's a very important word. It means very simply, if this is the world system, and this is the world's way, and this is my old life, I separate from it. I'm different. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. It's been a great change since I've been born again, a separated Christian. We are not supposed to be like the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are belong to Jesus Christ, and He is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, if I went in and I'm going to represent America, and I were go Osama bin Laden shirt and show a picture that the Twin Towers going down, and the Prime Minister of England looks, or the Prime Minister of Israel says, what are you doing? What side are you on? Are you on America's side or Osama bin Laden's side? What side are you on? You want terrorists? Oh, you know, I kind of like Hamas, and I kind of like Osama bin Laden. They're pretty good too. I like them. They're my friends too. I kind of like them also. They're at war with your country. Which side are you on? And nobody should ever look at us and say, what side are you on? No one should ever listen to us talk and say, and then you say, I'm a Christian. They say, you are? I didn't know that. They shouldn't see the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we communicate, the way we treat our family, the way we love. We should be separated. And everybody said, you are different. You love your enemies. You're kind to everybody. You don't talk like we talk. You don't tell the dirty jokes. You walk away when you start telling those jokes. You don't go and just because everybody else is doing it, you don't do it. That's the worldliness that we're supposed to avoid. We're supposed to be separated in our speech, in our conversation, in our clothing, in our lifestyle, in every manner. We are not supposed to be like this world. If the world is immoral, we don't have to follow them. We're different. We're Christians. We're of heaven. We represent the Lord. We don't represent the enemy, the devil. And this world and all that is in the world, the world and the lust thereof passeth away. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Are you separated today? Are you different than the world? Are you what nation do you represent? Do people think you're just like them? listen, there's a lot of things that you should separate in. And I think that when the world hears your music, they should hear a different music. I think when the world sees the way you talk, they should see a different kind of talk. I don't think you should be like the world. The Bible says, come up from among them and be ye separate. You are supposed to be a separate ambassador. I represent America. We have certain things. We represent America. You know what? I don't agree with the way you torture your women in this country. We don't agree with that. We don't do that in America. And we are a separate nation. We're different. We have high standards. We should be like that. And we as Christians should say, we are different. And by the way, don't you go and say you're different and talk different and live the same. That's called hypocrisy. We don't want hypocrites. Hypocrites ruin the cause. The worst ambassadors are hypocrites. They say one thing and do another. Next, if you want to be ambassador for Christ, you want to be a shining ambassador. A shining ambassador. In chapter 6, verse 3, it says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses. Listen, unfortunately in Okinawa, we have had the Marines there in Okinawa over and over do some very, very bad things. Some illegal things. And you know what? The Japanese don't want us in Okinawa anymore. Unfortunately. And by the way, we're moving out of Okinawa and going to Guam now. We're moving, I mean, not our entire base, but a whole bunch of our soldiers. Why? Because the Japanese are so tired of how bad, and they got a bad taste of America from, you know, it's probably 15 or 20 over the years, bad Marines. Do they represent America? Not really. Do they represent all the Marines? No. Do they represent all the military? No. But you see, you say, another American Marine molesting this or doing this, and they say, we don't want them anymore. They keep on doing this stuff. And you know what? The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we as Christians, the Bible says, such things should not be named among us. They should never look at us and say, you Christians are like that and I don't like that. You Christians are hypocrites. You Christians are like this. They should look at us and say, man, you are a Christian and you act like a Christian at home. You love your family. You love your spouse. You're kind. You're loving. You have a direction. You're not immoral. We should be shining examples of what a Christian is like. And an ambassador for America, they shouldn't find, where's that ambassador for America? We find out that he, you know what? He just robbed a bank. Guess what? They get five ambassadors in a row who go break the law. They're not going to think too much of America. And the hardest thing we have, folks, when you get in the ministry, and I'm not talking about being a pastor, I'm talking about when you become a Christian who starts ministering and helping the needy and feeding the hungry and reaching the lost and visiting those in the nursing home and helping those in jail and witnessing those who are lost, the hardest thing we have to deal with is not the hard world and it's not evolution and it's not anything else. All those things are easy to deal with. The problem is the Christians they knew. It is a killer. I invite you to church. I don't want to go to church. My uncle said he's a Christian and he did this. Oh, I knew some Christians and they went and did this. I went to church and they all gossiped about me. Can I tell you, you need to be a shining ambassador that they say, you know what? You, wow, I want what you have. You have something that's special. You have something that I wish I had. You have a joy, a happiness, a kindness, a peace, a love. You are a shining example of Christianity and of Jesus Christ. You represent Jesus well. If I ask you today, and if I went to those around you and your family and your neighborhood and your work, and I said, do they represent Jesus well? Would they say, absolutely. They are, man, they are a shining light here. Or would they say, they represent Jesus? Or they say, absolutely not. How do you represent Jesus? Can I say, Jesus deserves Christians who really live it and have a great testimony. He deserves someone who stands up and lives the Christian life with joy and abundant, the abundant life that says this is the way it ought to be. You shouldn't have to point them to me to say, let me show you a real Christian. You should be able to say, you know what? They should be able to say, you know what? I'm going to follow you because you follow Christ. That's what Paul was able to say. Hey, guys, follow me as I follow Christ. If you follow me, you'll be just fine. And if they follow you, are they going to be great Christians? If they go to church like you, if they're kind like you, if they gossip like you, if they love like you, are they going to be good Christians, or are they going to, or do you have to say what I've heard many Christians say? You know what? You should do all this stuff and follow what the Bible says and stuff. I know I don't do some of this stuff. No. You're an ambassador. I don't like when I have to put caveats on my Christian life. I don't want to feel like an attorney where I have to put 25 warning labels on me. I want to be a shining ambassador. Next, if you want to be an ambassador for Jesus and you want to represent him well, you need to be a strong ambassador. This is a very important point. A strong ambassador. And it's fascinating. Watch how much time it spends on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A strong ambassador. A strong ambassador. And many of you are. Praise God. Many of you have grown so much. And you represent Jesus well, I believe. And I want all of us in every area. A strong ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as a ministers of God. That means, in other words, here my life is like this. I'm proving with my life that I'm a minister of God, and I'm showing it forth. It's approved. As a ministers of God. Now watch how he says this. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Look at all these hard times he's going through. I want to be an ambassador in all of these things and approving them as a minister of God, the right kind of life, by the word of truth. verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, that's true love, genuine love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness, by the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers. Remember, they were accusing them of being people who are trying to destroy the law and all kinds of people, and they were accused of being deceivers. We were falsely accused. As deceivers and yet true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, and yet behold, we live. As chastised, beaten, and whipped, and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. By the way, that takes some strength. If you think those of us who don't always, have sorrow, if you think we don't ever have sorrow, we're still rejoicing. Those of you who still rejoice, it's not because you don't have sorrow. Can I tell you, there is no way to go through this life in this world and see the troubles of this world and work with people and see the heartaches people face and just go driving on I-5 for a day and not have sorrow. This world is a world of sorrows. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles, the sparks fly upward. In this world, ye shall have suffered persecution. Philippians 1:29, it is given unto you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. It is not a lack of trials that brings rejoicing. It's the ability to have sorrow and yet rejoice at the same time. You know what? My leg hurts, but I'm still going to heaven. You know what? This person doesn't like me, but they're wrong, and God knows I'm not wrong in this thing, and God knows the truth, and he's going to straighten it all out in heaven. You know what? I'm still got my name book of life, even though I'm suffering financially. It's a debility to have sorrow and rejoice at the same time, because there's good things going on for Christians. They got a God who loves them, a Father in heaven, a home in eternity in heaven, a mansion just over the hilltop. We've got it going, folks. Yeah, you got some sorrows, and so do I, but you know what? We've got a great joy in heaven. And it says there in that verse, it says, sorrowful yet rejoicing. Verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. Many of us qualify, don't we? We're poor, but we can make others rich, rich in heaven. Listen, I'm able to give people mansions. Amen. Just accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you get a mansion. You get to walk on streets of gold. I might be poor, but I can make some other people rich. And you know what? Up in heaven, I'm not going to be poor if I keep working for Jesus. And having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now remember for a sec, before you get too down on what you have, Paul literally possessed nothing. He literally had to say to Timothy, bring me my cloak. I don't even have a cloak. I'm in a cold dungeon. I don't have a cloak. He had not one earthly possession. You think you don't have, you say, I don't have anything either. Move. You'll find out you have plenty. Clean your garage out. You'll find out you got a lot of stuff. You know how much junk I have? The government says I'm poor, according to their statistics. But you know what? I got more stuff. My kids got more toys. We can't get them to clean it all up. It's beyond stacking now. Every once in a while, it's like, we're throwing some stuff away here. Oh, I love that toy! You have not seen it in 3 months. That's why you take it when they're not looking. And, I got one kid here. But it says, I have nothing yet, possessing all things. I got joy, I got the Holy Ghost, I got peace, I got heaven, I got the Lord, I got a Savior, I got a Father in heaven, I've got everything, I got it made! But at the ministration of death written in the grave and in the stones was glorious, so also... the wind blew my page there. O Corinthians, our mouth is open, your heart is enlarged. Do you see how many things are suffering? If you want to be a good ambassador for Christ, can I tell you, you're going to have to suffer and tough it out. That's right. All right. You have to come to church some days when you absolutely positively do not feel like it. You have to do the things of God when it is tough and hard and miserable and you're weak and got an excuse and you don't feel like it and you're depressed and you need to go encourage somebody. That's always hard. Have you ever been depressed and you have to encourage somebody else? It ain't easy. Listen, folks, you got to be angry sometimes and control your anger. You got to have someone be mean to you and love them back. You got to suffer and be tough enough to be a strong ambassador and say, this is a hard job being ambassador for Christ. The devil attacks me. The world doesn't like me. The world attacks me. The world system. You know what? I'm still going to be tough and stand for God. I'm not going to be a whiner. I'm not going to sit and say, oh, it's so tough. Nobody likes me. I had to give 10% of my income. And you know what? I got laughed at when I invited somebody to church. You got to be tough. An ambassador to some countries, the country doesn't like them. And people mock you and make fun of you and throw rocks at your car, figuratively, in life. Can I tell you, you got to be tough. If you're going to whine and say, oh, I'm going through a hard time, I can't go to church. Oh, I just can't read a Bible because, you know what, I'm struggling financially. I just want to sit in my house, close all the curtains, and lay on the couch for 3 days. You know what, you got to be tougher than that. You just got to be tough in life. You got to get up and say, you know what, I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling financially, but you know what, I'm going to go to church today and have a great day. You know what? My kids aren't going to see me sitting there miserable and crying and feeling hopeless. Yeah, I'm going through a tough time, but you know what? I'm going to have a good day and go play ball with the kids today. Amen. We live in a weak generation with no backbone and spine and succumb to every single emotion that they feel. Tough it out. Be a strong ambassador. And you be strong for God and say, I'm having a rough time, but you know what? I got it made. I'm still serving God. I'm going to make it. It's going to go okay. And the poor women and children nowadays who have to follow these males who aren't men and who come up and say, honey, it's so tough out there. They cut me off of the highway. Man, men are weenies nowadays. Kids, I don't know how we're going to make it financially. It's just tough right now. We might have to sell your Wii. Oh, no! Oh, let's all cry together. It's a miserable life. Hide the gun. I mean, oh, stop. You know you can be miserable and nobody know it? Because you have to. You know how many soldiers in the middle of a war are getting shot at and are scared to death and say, let's go! It's called being strong. And he says, I'm in imprisonments and in tumults and troubles and trials and tribulation and despised and hated, and guys, it's going great. I'm in jail, locked up, but you know what? I don't possess anything, but you know what? I got everything in heaven. Don't we got it made as Christians? And that's what he said. And last of all, we said he's a soul-winning ambassador, a sold-out ambassador, a spirit-filled ambassador, a separated ambassador, a shining ambassador, a strong ambassador, and last of all, a saved ambassador. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He died to reconcile us to God. Can I tell you this? If you don't know 100% sure you're going to heaven today, did you know that Jesus Christ wants to save you from all your sin and give you a home in heaven and is free? You don't have to join a church. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to do everything perfect. The Bible says that you have sin. Jesus died for that sin. If you want that sin taken away, he died for it. If you repent of your sin and realize you need him as Savior, believe he died for you on the cross and rose again 3 days later, and trust him as your Savior, heaven will be your home. He'll forgive you all your sins. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to do anything. It's just trusting Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Getting to heaven is as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I've sinned, and I know you died for me. Thank you for dying for me. I need you to take away my sin. I believe Jesus died and rose again. He's the Son of God. Please save me from my sin. I trust you to save me, not my good works, not my religion. You do that right there. God says, I will wash your sins away as white as snow. They'll be gone. But you cannot be an ambassador for Jesus till you're saved. And you're not saved by being born a Christian. You're not saved by going to church. You're not saved by living a good life. There is none righteous, no, not one. The only way to be saved is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if today if you're not saved, can I tell you, you can be saved in 5 minutes from now and have your home in heaven and everything forgiven. It's up to you. You've got to be saved. Can I ask you, are you saved today? If you are saved, can I ask you, are you a soul-winning ambassador, a sold-out ambassador, a spirit-filled ambassador, a separated ambassador? And are you a shining ambassador representing Jesus well? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this great chapter 5 and 6, where they talk about what kind of ambassador to be, Father. Help us to be different. Lord, help us not to be different because we're weary, but different because we have you, and we have the fullness of joy and peace, and Lord, because we have the presence of God in our lives. Father, that beats $1 million. It beats fame. It beats fortune. It beats everything, Father, having you. And Lord, we are representing you, Lord. I pray, Lord, many Christians and many churches aren't representing you well, Father. It's sad to try to talk to people when they've been hurt by Christians and Christians ripped them off and did them wrong. And Lord, we want to be the right kind of ambassadors. Help us to do so. And I pray today, Lord, if anybody doesn't know you as Savior today, they'd be saved. They would know you and have their name written in the book of life and be born again. Thank you for your word that tells us how. Thank you for these, the words from Paul, a man who was going through hard times, who had...